So have you heard of this restaurant that sells some of the largest burgers in the world, cooks their fries in pure lard, and even sells unfiltered cigarettes just in case your meal wasn't unhealthy enough? Ate too much and can't walk out to your car? No problem. They have wheelchairs just for that purpose. All today and much, much more on episode 47 of Fat to Fit Radio.
Welcome to Fat to Fit Radio, your source for real weight loss solutions without the hype. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Ainsley and Russ Turley.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Welcome to the show. How are you doing this week, Jeff?
I'm doing excellent this week. And Russ, I just noticed that you typed in the show notes that you have made some progress since we did the weight loss plateau show. So it looks like you are down another pound and a half, down to 253 pounds. So congratulations. That is a total of 43 pounds in since we started the show.
Last week, I was bitterly disappointed that I didn't make any weight loss. But, you know, after a couple weeks of lowering the calories and getting down to where I should be to lose weight, it was amazing. It just all of a sudden, boom, just kind of fell off. I was amazed when I stepped on the scale.
Well, that's just excellent.
Yeah. What's going on with you, though, this week?
Well, one thing that happened this week, I did a full week where I did my personal living skills section with my grade 9 phys ed classes, and I covered a week of nutrition with them, and I showed them that movie Super Size Me by Morgan Spurlock. And what they did is they recorded a food journal where they recorded everything that they ate for 4 days and handed it in, you know, at the end of the week. And I was really shocked at the results. So I kind of did a tally here, and per class of students, of 35 grade 9 students, I'd only estimate maybe two or three were eating anywhere near what I'd consider a healthy diet. And half of them don't eat breakfast. And this shouldn't be really too shocking because we talk about it all the time. But of the heavier students, especially the girls, 95% of them don't eat breakfast. And I'm really not sure if that's partially why they're heavier, because they've been skipping meals and then pigging out later in the day, or they just think that by skipping breakfast, it's going to help them lose weight, but they're just doing the total wrong thing. And I'm kind of glad that I had this week with the grade nines, and I have now convinced them to eat breakfast and eat more often throughout the day. And hopefully some of them are going to change around what they're eating. But in reality, I know that they're not really buying their own food yet. It's whatever their parents put on the plates.
Well, that's interesting. You have like a built-in group to like experiment on. You're like the phys ed lab here. So is there anything else that you can have them do that we can see what's going on and maybe draw some conclusions from it?
Well, I'll just keep my eyes open as we go throughout the year, and I'll be reporting back to you. But what's going on with you this week, Russ?
Last show, I mentioned that I was going to get an iPhone. And so I did get one. And I also mentioned that I was going to be posting a review of WeightBot. And I've got that ready to post, and I'm going to be putting that up soon. But I've just been enjoying all the little applications that are on the phone, and kind of wasting my time, a lot of it, trying out new little apps. And particularly, there's a couple of other fitness apps that I'm going to be reviewing also that I thought were kind of neat. One was a pedometer that uses the motion sensor in the iPhone to kind of tell how far you're walking, how many steps you've taken. And then another one, actually, you mentioned, called iFitness, that had a bunch of exercises that it showed you how to do them. So I'm going to be taking a look at those two coming up. But I've been having a good time. And from what I saw in email, you've also got a new Apple product in your house.
Yeah, I bought an iPod Touch, which looks just like an iPhone, but it doesn't have the phone capability. It has internet connectivity. If you're in a Wi-Fi area, you can get access to the internet. And it's really identical to the iPhone, but it's just also more of a Walkman as well. And in reality, they're both kind of like a mini computer. The funny thing is, though, when I go to the gym, the iPod Touch is a little too big for me. I'm still using my old MP3 players. I have a couple for, you know, older ones. And I think I'm going to stick with the older ones for the gym because the iPods are just a little too big for me.
You know, I have an iPod Nano, and that's what I use when I go walking or I'm working out on the elliptical. And I have to agree, this iPhone's huge. And actually, I'm thinking the pedometer, it's going to be fairly weird when it's in my pocket. And if I'm walking at a nice pace, it's going to be kind of, you know, make sure I have to tie the shorts a little bit tighter so I don't have them falling down around my ankles after a few steps. But Yeah, you know, they actually have that new iPod Nano that has one of these accelerometers in it, so you can actually tell. So maybe they'll integrate those two together, and you have the smaller form factor with some of these features with these apps. So that'd be kind of cool. But all of a sudden, we've turned into the iPhone iPod Touch show here. But why don't we get into some email and comments for this week?
All right. The first email comes from John Sanderson.
Yes, John Sanderson. He wrote us, and so what he said. Hey, guys. As usual, great podcast. I have a question for you regarding eating a specific number of calories as discussed in episode 44. Like Jeff, I have pretty much figured a close approximation of the number of calories I need to take in on a daily basis to maintain my weight with my current exercise level. I try to eat the number of calories or close to it every day. In my workouts, I try to mix things up every now and then so I can keep my body from adapting to a particular routine. I don't really do this with my diet all that much. I try to eat different things, but I never play with the number of calories I take in daily. Therefore, in order to keep me out of a potential rut, my question is this. Is it better to eat a specific number of calories every day or try to eat that number of calories average over a week? For example, if my intake should be 2,800 calories a day to maintain my weight, should I eat, say, 2,600 one day, 3,000 one day, 2,400 one day, 3,200 one day, etc., and average 2,800 over the week? Or is it better to keep the number steady on a daily basis? Thanks in advance for the information. Keep up the great work. It is much appreciated.
So just a general rule of thumb, it's the average of your goal calories. So as long as you're staying within 100 or 200 or 300 calories, that's not a huge amount. But don't think that you can average 6,000 calories one day and then make it up by eating 50 calories for the next 2 days. Not huge swings, but it's okay to have a bit of variability. Now, I was looking at the Canadian and American food guides for what I was just teaching in school, and they both recommend that the servings that they suggest are the average amount that you should be consuming in one day. And most people would survive just fine if you ate the exact same number of calories every single day. But the big concern is actually getting all of the recommended amounts of healthy fats, vitamins, minerals, etc. So you need to be varying your diet just to be able to get everything that you're supposed to get. And if you've ever tried any of these diet tracking software programs, and I know there's even some that are free on the internet like fitday.com, you're going to see that it's very hard to get every single vitamin mineral that you're supposed to every single day. So really, if you want to eat a healthy, balanced diet, not just for weight loss, but for overall health, your calories should be and need to be changing slightly every day just because your food choices should be changing on almost a daily basis. And one last thing, keep in mind that we're talking about a lifestyle here. When Thanksgiving or Christmas comes around, everyone's going to eat probably some extra calories. But if your calories still average the same over a week or even that month of Christmas, you won't have to worry about gaining any weight. So yes, it's better to vary your calories a little bit and eat as many different things as you can. And that's really about it.
You have to say, if you eat the same thing every day, you know, you're going to get tired of it and you may just stray off that that diet if you get too tired of it. So I would suggest that also, getting a variety of foods in.
All right, let's move on to our second item. And this comes from Trevor, and it comes from the Fat to Fit Radio forums. And he writes, I've been doing walks and runs and have started to break through my weight loss plateau. However, during my exercise, I get heat blisters on my feet and friction blisters between my legs. This makes the exercise much more uncomfortable. Could you please talk about prevention and treatment of blisters due to exercise?
Now, Jeff, now I don't know if this happens to you, but I've mentioned on the podcast many times that I will wear bicycle shorts underneath regular shorts or just bicycle shorts when I'm doing any kind of exercise where I'm going to be rubbing my legs together, because it's like a furnace and it will rub off any hair and I'll just be a huge chapped mess if I don't wear something like that and I go for an extended period of time working out. So Trevor, that's going to be the first thing I recommend. Wear some bicycle shorts. You can go get those at a local bike store, or, you know, I don't know that there are other, probably just a workout store that would have a nylon short that you could wear like that, that were real tight, so that would allow the friction to be between the fabric and not between your leg and the fabric. That's going to be a big help there.
I also know of another product called Body Glide. So you can search for Body Glide. And what it is it kind of looks like deodorant, But what it is, and I'm just reading it here on the screen, it's an all-natural skin lubricant created to stand up to rubbing and moisture, prime causes of skin irritation. Now, I know a lot of runners will actually put this on between their legs where they run there, and they'll also put it kind of on their sides where their elbows and their arms might rub, you know, underneath their armpit in that area where they get a lot of rashes. So that's another option as well.
Yeah, you mentioned something there with Body Glide moisture. You know, you got two things that cause blisters and those rashes: friction and moisture. And so the Body Glide is a good choice for that too. But on your feet, way back in episode number 14, we talked about running, and one of the tips we had was about Nike Dry Fit socks. And these are socks that are made of almost 100% polyester, if not 100% polyester, and they wick away the moisture away from your feet. And they actually have two layers of fabric in the sock. The first layer goes around your foot. The second layer is so your foot can move around in the shoe without rubbing on the inside of the shoe. You're just rubbing sock to sock. So it prevents that friction as well. And the wicking action of the polyester will keep that away from your foot and put it out into the shoe. That's really the best advice I can give. Anything else, Jeff?
I've got one more thing that I use. For some reason, I know some guys get this, and when we're running, our shirt kind of rubs on our nipples, and eventually they kind of rub raw. I guess if I wore a bra, I wouldn't have to worry about this. But I use a product called New Skin, and I used to use a product that was kind of a liquid Band-Aid, and you just kind of paint it on wherever you're rubbing, and it forms like a hard plastic sort of thing that you can't rub through. And I know that has saved a lot of people from painful nipples. I remember in an earlier show, we talked about bleeding nipples. Do you remember that, Russ?
Oh, all too well. All too well.
But anyways, we don't need to cover that one again. Let's move on to our next item. And this one comes from Jim Borman in Australia. And he writes, "Hi guys, I'm stuck in the dilemma of eating healthy snack foods like raw nuts and the like, and eating low calorie foods like popcorn. Eating celery or carrot sticks is more like a punishment than a snack. So I'm needing some inspiration. My main goal is weight loss, but I don't want to get sick in the effort. Do you have any suggestions for low-calorie or no-calorie snacks that won't kill me in the long run?"
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of fruit myself, and I will pick for a snack a piece of fruit over almost anything else. So, you know, I'm not a particular fan of celery. I do like carrots, all right. But fruit is my big thing. You know, I'll pick an apple or, well, in summertime, we have just some of the greatest fruit in all the farmers markets around here. And so I'll just load up my desk, my drawer with a whole bunch of fruit, and that's my snack. And that's what I would suggest. If you're just eating nuts and, you know, some celery and carrots, get out and get some fruit.
We have a quick list here. Here are some things that have almost no calories. So that's between 25 to 30 calories. So, you know, it's celery sticks, of course, one small tangerine, some lettuce, like you're just going to eat lettuce by itself. But anyways, half cup of watermelon, some cucumbers, a quarter of a cantaloupe, green peppers, a small tomato, some mushrooms, a medium carrot, some cauliflower. You already talked about popcorn fits in there, broccoli, or even just 12 pretzel sticks.
Yeah, and then if you go up on the list, you want to eat a few more calories, anywhere from 35 to 60, you can have a medium peach, a small apple, a medium nectarine, a small orange, a half of a grapefruit, about 15 grapes, half of a cup of skim milk, also 12 cherries, a quarter cup of plain yogurt, a cup of strawberries, three saltine crackers, and maybe half a banana or a quarter cup of cottage cheese.
Now, there's another thing. A lot of times when you're snacking, it might be because you're hungry, and that might be just because you're not eating enough food. So maybe you just need to eat a little bit more throughout the day. Another thing, of course, is that you're sitting down to watch some TV or a movie, and it's just everyone snacking. It's something that you do. So you need to find something that is low calorie, not to kind of blow the diet. But one other thing that I'm going to add in here, and there is an article on Fat to Fit Radio that talks about negative calorie food. So you can just search for that and you'll find it. And what a negative calorie food is, humans cannot digest cellulose in plants. So some fruits and vegetables with high cellulose content, you simply can't digest them efficiently. So if you think of cows or horses that eat grass, they can eat grass all day long and thrive, but for a human, you would starve to death. So these are the fruits and vegetables that have a lot of cellulose in them, so you don't really get to digest most of the calories in them. So I'll just give you a quick list. Asparagus, beets, broccoli, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chicory, chili peppers, cucumbers, endive, garlic, lettuce, onions, papayas, spinach, turnips, zucchini, apples, cranberries, grapefruit, lemons, mangoes, oranges, pineapple, raspberries, strawberries, and tangerines. Now, of course, you could always rewind and hear that again, or check it out on the website by searching for negative calorie foods. We'll have a link to that as well, because if you're just eating for the sake of eating, you could make some sort of fruit salad of something out of these negative calorie foods, and really, you're looking for no calorie or low calorie. This might be your best bet to try and create something from this group of foods that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and you notice on that list is not a lot of, or actually any, pre-processed foods. Those are going to be real high in calories and something you're going to want to stay away from. Even these ones that say they're, you know, 100 calories, you know, little snack bags. You just want to stay away from those. Those are processed and you want to stay with these natural ones, at least according to me.
Yeah, and that's right. And make sure that you look at the correct fruits. Some of the fruits are not negative calorie fruits. They do have a lot of sugar in them and higher calories, you know, the natural sugars. But let's move on to the second question that Jim actually asked. He had a two-parter here.
Yep, he continues, I've been cutting calories and doing cardio in the gym to lose weight, but I've also started working on my large muscle groups, chest, thighs, to increase muscle mass in an effort to increase calorie burn. In 5 weeks, I've only lost 1 kilogram. I'm feeling fit, but don't see it on the scale. I've heard some say not to look at the scale while losing weight. Should I expect a tipping point to kick in and cause a sudden change in weight, or will I just move my belly to my biceps? Jim from Down Under.
All right. So first of all, I know we're talking about Russ and his weight loss here, but don't worry too much about the scale. It's very hard for anyone to put on muscle, but if you're a beginner, when you first start lifting weights, everyone sees some very quick muscle gains. So make sure that you're eating some lean protein with every meal to ensure that your workouts are, you know, you're getting some benefit out of the workout. Your muscles are made up of protein. And when you lift weights, what it does is it makes small micro tears in the muscle itself. And this is natural. I'm not talking about ripping or tearing your muscle, just little microscopic tears. So when you eat protein, that protein helps heal those little tears and the muscles get slightly bigger. A little bit extra protein gets put in there. And that's how your muscles get bigger. And that's the basic process of how you gain muscle and strength. Now, when I personally started eating properly with 6 meals a day at about 400 calories below my maintenance level and was lifting weights, I saw huge improvements in my strength, but I was only losing about 2 pounds of weight loss per month for several months. And the reason is muscle is several times heavier than fat. So if you put on a pound of muscle, it goes all over your body. You'll probably not notice any change at all. But at the same time, if you also lost that pound of fat, you will be a little bit smaller, but the scale stays the same. Now, a certain weight isn't really your true goal when you're losing weight, because if you didn't have a scale and you were quite overweight, you just want to look thinner, right? You'd want to fit in your clothes better, you'd want to look healthier, and just generally look better. So I would suggest, besides the scale, get a measuring tape and start taking some body measurements. You can look on the internet of what are the standard places to measure, or you can do your own. I mean, you could measure around your stomach at your belly button. You could measure around your butt and your hips at the largest size, things like that, and keep track of that. So I would suggest doing these measurements for yourself probably every 2 weeks or so, and you should be able to see a slight difference every 2 weeks. Now, as for your belly moving to your biceps, I'm sure that every guy would love to see that happen. But one thing that will unfortunately happen is that as your body starts to get used to weight training, it's going to get harder and harder to build more muscle. So it actually might appear in a couple of months that you're starting to lose more weight because your muscle increases are starting to slow. You might be losing fat at the same rate that you always were, just you're not putting on as much muscle at the same time. So it's true that people don't lose weight in a linear fashion as well. So your weight's going to kind of be going up and down and up and down, but gradually, you know, it's going to be more downs than up. So what I suggest, use a combination of a measuring tape and the weight scale to decide if you're making progress or not. Don't just use one thing or the other. And if you find that neither one is changing, then you can start looking at modifying what you're eating and modifying your workout routine. But by all means, don't just worry about the scale. Do a combination of things and have more ways to have success than just that one scale.
All right. Excellent. Well, if you'd like to send us an email like John or Jim or Trevor, send us a comment. You can do so in a couple of ways. The first is by leaving a comment on the website at fattofitradio.com.
Or you can send us an email to podcast@fattofitradio.com.
Third way is the voicemail. Just go over to the website and click on the Call Me button, and you can leave a free voicemail.
Or you can join our support group at fattofitsupport.com.
All right, well, let's get into a couple of news items on the web report. What do you have for us this week, Jeff?
Well, the item I have this week comes from htrnews.com, and it's an article entitled Workout Equals Weight Loss. Man sheds 265 pounds by exercising and changing eating habits. Now, I like to see some of these great success stories where they go into a lot of detail of how this person does this and what they were doing and why they were successful. So I'll just kind of go over some of the highlights of this article. So this took 2 years for this guy to lose 265 pounds. And this guy's name is Jeremy Blanick. And it was 3 years ago when he was 27 years old that he started his diet. And he was always heavy. And it says here when he was in eighth grade, he was already 234 pounds. When we talk about people who go on a weight loss sort of diet, there's generally some sort of thing that happens that finally turns their life around. And for him, he had a friend who died, and it was just a real shock to him. And his friend wasn't overweight, but he realized that, you know, you can die suddenly of things that aren't really obvious. And he was really overweight, thinking, well, I have some obvious concerns here. So we ended up going to the doctor and found out that his blood pressure was 189 over 125.
Yikes.
Yeah. This doctor here really worked for him. He, all throughout his life, doctors were telling him that he needed to lose weight, but it never really sank in for him. This doctor was someone who was overweight and lost a lot of weight himself, so it kind of worked out well for them. And this doctor wasn't scolding him. He wasn't telling him, oh, he should lose weight. He was just saying things like, you know, it's sure easy getting so overweight, isn't it? And for him, it was someone who really understood where he was at. And I guess just a little aside here, it's kind of like in my professional job here, you know, teaching phys ed, I teach with a lot of other phys ed teachers, but most of them really don't get it because they've never had weight problems, they've never struggled. And when I see them talking with students and they're doing the nutrition section like I just did last week, they're just saying, well, you just have to eat less and exercise more. And a lot of people simply don't understand unless they've been there with weight loss. They don't see how easy it is for some people to put on weight. But anyways, back to this. This doctor really understood, and he put him on a program that was very easy. He had a workout routine, but it was starting out with just walking 20 minutes a day. By the way, when he got measured at the doctor, he started at 489 pounds. So he worked really hard for about a year, and in that first year, he lost 120 pounds. But after that year, he found that his weight loss was just plateaued, and he couldn't really get any great results anymore. So what he did, which was a great thing for him, he joined a gym. And he went kind of crazy at this gym. 6 or 7 days a week, 1 to 2 hours per day, he was at the gym working out. And over that next year, he lost another 145 pounds, which brought him down to 224 pounds. Now, the thing about this story here, that was a year ago. So he has now been a year on maintenance and has maintained his weight within a couple pounds for an entire year, because everyone can go crazy and just lose weight and get down to their goal weight. But the hardest thing is changing the lifestyle and not putting it back on. He says the thing that really keeps the weight off for him, he still goes to the gym, but now he's going to the gym 4 days a week and spending between 30 and 60 minutes on a treadmill or an elliptical machine. So he's not doing 6 or 7 times per week, 1 to 2 hours per day. He's cut it way back, and now that is maintenance for him. And for him, just kind of to sum up here, he's saying working out for him is now a great stress reliever. And the two biggest benefits of him losing 265 pounds is that his blood pressure is back to normal. He's no longer taking medication for it, no longer has sleep apnea, and he has a ton more energy every single day. So if you want to read this story in more detail, I find it inspirational to read success stories of other people who have succeeded, especially if they've done a lot more weight loss than you might have to do. I mean, people can think, oh my God, I have 100 pounds to lose. And then you see a story of a guy who's lost 265 pounds over 2 years. It doesn't make yours sound too hard. So if they can do it, you can do it as well.
That's very cool.
All right. So what do you have for us this week, Russ?
All right. So first off, I do have an article here, but I wanted to share this this moment. Now, in the old podcast, Fat Guy Radio, I would have called this a fat guy moment of the week. And I didn't, you know, don't have very many of these. But on Sunday, I took one of my children, Matthew, to Legoland. We try to do one kid a month, kind of take one-on-one to go someplace. And there's this little ride. It's called the Astro Blasters or something like that. It's a little ride where an arm swings out and you're out in the end and you kind of go, you're over some water and you just kind of spin around. It's kind of a cool little ride. But there is a weight limit of 275 pounds on this ride. So I was weighing at, 254, 253. And Matthew's weighs about, he's 4.5. He weighs about 43 pounds. We are about together over the limit of this ride. And he was crushed. And it was one of those moments you're just so pissed. You're like, damn it, why am I not weighing less? Why am I not thinner? And, you know, he was real disappointed, but he held it together just fine. He didn't cry or anything, you know. This is his favorite ride in Legoland. And I didn't even think about it. Usually my wife takes him on it. Because I know that that limit exists. And when I had lost weight before, I was able to go on with my oldest son, but I couldn't do it. And it was literally, I'm like, this sucks big time. So I want to share that. I haven't had one of those in a long time. So it was very, very sad, time at Legoland on Sunday.
Wow. And just think it's going to get harder because, you know, as you lose weight, you know, your kids are going to get heavier too. So it's always a race to be able to keep riding on that ride.
Serious. It's going to be at some point. Well, you know, they have to be up to 48 inches. And when they're 48 inches, they can go out by themselves. So there's a point where I'm off the hook. But, you know, until that point, I mean, he's got, you know, another 6 inches to go, maybe. That's going to be a couple of years. So hopefully I'll get down below that and I can ride with him before that point. So anyway, I just want to share that because I hadn't had one of those.
All right. What do you have for your news item this week?
Well, I've got a list here. It is the 11 worst foods Americans eat daily. And, you know, we all know that we, as Americans, eat a lot of fat in our diets. And that's just a nice nice list of the most common things we're guilty of eating that we shouldn't. And the first one on the list is donuts. If you've been listening for a while, you know that I used to have a donut made for me at the local donut place many years ago. I was guilty of this, but they're going to be about 200 to 300 calories each, so not a good idea to eat one of those. Next one, you know, is soda. I always know soda is just sugar in a can. You want to stay away from sugar and soda. Third is French fries, and pretty much any French fry is going to be fried, hopefully not in a high trans fat oil. Hopefully they're cooked in a vegetable oil, but best to just stay away from those. They just add a lot of fat to your diet. And the fourth one is corn chips, and they're just high in sodium and trans fats. Fifth on the list is hot dogs. Well, because mostly they're mystery meat. You know, you don't know what's in a hot dog. There's a lot of nitrates and other preservatives and things you don't want to be putting in your body. Number six here is fried non-fish seafood. Now, I wouldn't put this on the list here, but other than the fried portion of it, but apparently they're also loaded with a lot of mercury, which you want to stay away from also. But, you know, I would have said, you know, lobsters and oysters and things were okay, but not in the fried variety. Next on the list is margarine. You want to stay away from the hydrogenated oils, sugar and other artificial sweeteners. Ninth on the list here is salt. 10 is crackers, toaster pastries, and sugary cereals. All these foods contain trans fats. And the last here on the list is just in general, foods high in saturated fat. And those are going to be mostly animal fats, like a fatty piece of beef or pork. So there it is, 11 foods that are the worst that Americans eat.
All right, now we're going to move on to our feature section. And we're going to talk about it's kind of a lighter subject, but we're going to talk about a restaurant that kind of takes unhealthy food to the limit. And as I said earlier in the show, I just watched Super Size Me again this week, and they were talking about some lawsuits that were against McDonald's for causing people to get fat and unhealthy, and they didn't win because the judge said that it was not McDonald's intention for people to eat at McDonald's for all of their meals throughout the day. So they couldn't really prove that all of their overeating was caused by McDonald's. But now we're going to talk about a business, a restaurant called Heart Attack Grill. And their slogan is, "Taste worth dying for." So they are really on the surface looking like, yes, our food is so bad that it will kill you. So Russ, why don't you tell the people about what they serve here?
I am looking at the homepage here of the Heart Attack Grill, and it's at heartattackgrill.com. And they're pretty much serving burgers and fries. And they're also here advertising the standard Jolt Cola with extra caffeine and non-filtered cigarettes. This is their on their menu. It's a very interesting choice. But they're not just serving hamburgers. They're serving half-pound burgers, and they've got some beautiful names for these things, too. The single bypass burger, that's a single patty, half pound. The double bypass burger, that's two patties. That's a pound of meat. And can you guess, next one, the triple bypass, 1.5 pounds of meat. And the granddaddy here, the quadruple bypass burger, 2 pounds of beef, and it is a monster. And don't forget the flatliner fries. That's the name of them, flatliner. They are deep fried. And this is they're very proud of this fact. They are deep fried in pure lard. Okay, I'm going to give you a little little behind the scenes here. They look delicious. You know, if you look at these things, they're gigantic. You're thinking, boy, what would it be like to eat one of those? But they are literally, their name of the restaurant is aptly named here. It's they're a heart attack and waiting to happen right there on the plate.
Well, they have pictures on their site of people trying to eat these burgers. And if you can imagine this quadruple bypass burger, and you think of the biggest hamburger you've ever tried to hold in your hands, and then you try and open your mouth to bite into this, this hamburger would be taller from anyone's bottom of the chin to the top of your head. That is the height of this burger. It's absolutely ridiculous. And the funny thing is here, you know, with the no filtered cigarettes fried in pure lard, this is just, you know, making fun at anything that might be healthy. They're just going to go 100% the other way. And I think this is kind of funny in one sense, but I think it's kind of a little sad in the other sense.
Yeah, the owner there is a guy named Dr. John, and he dresses up like a doctor there. And here's the other thing that's this guy here is going for his target audience, which is people who don't care about their health. And also pretty much going after a male audience, because every single waitress in the restaurant is dressed in the, with Halloween just happened, will can only be described as a sexy nurse or slutty nurse outfit.
And that's right. And after you eat, their big thing here is that they'll put you in a wheelchair and wheel you out to your car after you've gorged yourself so much and can't walk. That's the big thing. You've eaten so much you can't walk, our nurses will push you out in the wheelchair to your car. Ah, boy, that's kind of crazy.
Yep, and I'm looking on the website here also, and Dr. John, there's supposedly a book here. It looks like a fake book. I'm going to assume it is because it's ridiculous, but it's called The Heart Attack Grill Diet. Eat, drink, and smoke your way to better health. And I think they're just thumbing their nose at the whole, I want to say politically correct, but that's not the same right term. I mean, really, everybody who's now, you know, trying to get healthy. And that's really the thing. In the past, you know, people didn't really care. Smoking was very in. We're talking about like I Love Lucy era. You know, this is 1940s and 50s. Pretty much everybody smoked. They didn't really worry about rendering sides of bacon and cooking with that. And, you know, these things were very commonplace. But now we know those kind of ways of cooking and eating, they were detrimental to our health. And now we know this. And so we've abandoned those ways. But they're really going back to those old ways and celebrating them when they really should not be doing that.
How we really heard about this restaurant, and it's in Chandler, Arizona, the state government was really going after them because they wanted to make sure that people knew that these were not real nurses. And it was their nurses union in the state of Arizona that was really making a big fuss over this. And at the bottom of every page on their website, it says, "The government requires us to inform you that our nurses do not actually have any accredited medical training." And that's kind of a silly thing. You know, the nurses are all against this, and they made them famous because of all of their fighting about them having people dressed up as nurses. And they do have an entire section just on the news. And they're linking to all the different videos on different television stations that have talked about their restaurant. So let's see, it's Heart Attack Grill on Japanese TV, on French TV, on Fox News, on Rush Limbaugh, Geraldo Rivera, CNN Dateline, German TV, another one on Fox News. They were in Maxim Magazine, the National Enquirer, Business 2.0, Entrepreneur Magazine, Incorporated Magazine. So they've had a lot of media coverage just because of this outlandish sort of restaurant and the food that they're serving.
So Jeff, you find yourself in Chandler, Arizona. It's near Tempe. It's near near Scottsdale, near Phoenix. Do you make a trek to the Heart Attack Grill, or do you just forget about it, not even try it?
You know, I actually would probably go there just to go there because of the media coverage. But think of this. It's like going to Disneyland or Disney World or one of these big amusement parks. You know, you're not going there to have a great diet. You're going to take a day off. I would go there just as a experience and just to say that I've been there. But I wouldn't want to appear in their photos that are on their website, because if you look through the photo section where they have people that submit photos of themselves eating these hamburgers, there's not a single non-fat person in any of these pictures, except for the nurses who kind of look like strippers in nurse outfits, of course.
I'd have to say, if I find myself in anywhere near the Heart Attack Grill, I would have to just try it. And just, you know, I don't think I would go for the fries. It just sounds like those are just, you're taking your life in your own hands. But I've had a double quarter pounder in my life, which is about the same amount of meat as one of these single bypass. But I couldn't see eating anything bigger than that. That's just ludicrous. I mean, just to get, you know, the picture with it, I might say, you know, go over to some guy in the corner with his burger and saying, hey, can I take a picture with your burger? But I couldn't see eating anything more than like a single patty on these things. But, you know, if I was in the area, I think I'd have to try it out.
Well, it's definitely a novelty. But if this Heart Attack Grill franchised and spread out as much as McDonald's, there would be huge problems. And because they're trying to make it sound like, yes, we're thumbing our nose at health and common sense, I'm sure, you know, someone would eat there all the time. I mean, they do have an Angus Club where people record how many of these burgers they've been eating. And, you know, if one of these people ate 500 of these burgers and had a heart attack, I'm sure there'd be some lawsuits flying because of that.
Yeah, I think this place can only exist as kind of a one-off kind of restaurant, because it's just too much liability for somebody coming in and trying to run a restaurant. You have other things to worry about besides, am I going to kill my patrons?
But I mean, this was just a fun little piece. If you go to heartattackgrill.com, take a look at what you can get there. It is kind of amazing, and it might make your mouth water because you see these huge burgers and that interests you, or you might look at it and say, that's kind of disgusting. I used to be like that, and I used to look like the people who are eating these burgers.
Yeah, you know, and take a look at the photos, because there's, take a look at all the people that are eating these burgers, including the first one, which there's a little boy. I'm going to guess he's 4 or 5-ish. And he's got a single bypass burger. He's like, he's taking one bite, and it's as big as his head. These things are gigantic too. I take it back. I don't think I want to eat one. They're just too big. That is too much food. And so it's kind of fun. Just take a look at the site and just experience this restaurant, you know, virtually.
All right. Well, let's move on to the recipe of the week. And Russ, you were giving us, instead of a specific recipe, we're going to switch this right around. You were giving us 4 weeks in a row of a healthy thing that you could get out and eat if you had to eat out.
Right. So instead of a pseudo commercial for Subway, which I apparently delivered last week, this week it's going to be for McDonald's. If you find yourself late for work and can't make yourself a nice breakfast, the Egg McMuffin. It is an English muffin with an egg, cheese, and Canadian bacon. It is 300 calories, 36% of that is fat, 40% carbs, and protein 24%. That breaks down to 12 grams of fat and 30 grams of carbs and 18 grams of protein. And you may think, boy, that doesn't sound too healthy, but it's kind of the better bad choice if you have to eat out for breakfast versus, you know, some of the other sandwiches you might find in some of these other restaurants. This one is kind of basic. It just gives you, you know, a third of each of carbs, fat, and protein, and just get you fed in the morning. So wouldn't make a habit of having one of these every day, but when you don't have time for breakfast, it is the better bad choice. So the Egg McMuffin from McDonald's, this week's fast food recipe of the week.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, if I'm really late for work, I will probably go through McDonald's and grab an Egg McMuffin. It's not too bad. You have to keep in mind anything that's fast food. This one has a lot of sodium in it, but that's just regular fast food kind of stuff. And another thing, some people think that going to McDonald's and getting their muffins, for example, they think those are the healthy things. The muffins usually have a lot more calories than a basic Egg McMuffin.
All right, Jeff. So what kind of homework do we have for the lovely people at home this week?
Well, for everyone, Halloween has just passed. So everybody probably had a few extra treats. So now it's time to hide them out of sight so that they won't tempt you, or possibly just throw them out so there's no way you're going to end up eating them all. Now, once you've done that, this week's homework is to replace those temptations with healthy ones. The goal here is to have two or three healthy alternatives for those emergencies when you're hungry, or even for the time like you're watching a movie or just looking for something to snack on. So having a snack once in a while doesn't have to destroy your calorie goals for the day if you plan ahead.
Very good. And what is our quote for this week?
Well, the quote comes from Arnold H. Glasgow, and it is, "Your body is the baggage you must carry through life. The more excess the baggage, the shorter the trip."
Very nice, very nice. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening and for downloading this show. All the show notes are over at fat2fitradio.com. All the links for any of the articles we mentioned will be there on the show notes. And if you have any recommendations for iPhone apps, send them to podcast@fattofitradio.com so we can check them out. And with that, we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Send your feedback or questions to podcast@fattofitradio.com. For more information on today's show or any previous shows, visit the website at fattofitradio.com. If you would like to support the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast directory.